This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Shine through us, Lord Jesus Christ, and be so in us that every soul we come in contact with may feel your presence in our souls. Let them look up and see no longer us, but only Jesus. Amen. It's a part of a prayer that is attributed to John Henry Cardinal Newman, who had many peaks and valleys in his own spiritual journey. He went back and forth from Anglicanism to Catholicism. Unfortunately, ended up on the wrong side of that equation at the end. But he did teach us an awful lot about the spiritual journey. We learn a lot through the spiritual journey of so many people in the Scriptures. And the theme that John the Baptist brings out for us today is certainly one that our friend Peter had to learn. And we see that illustrated in the following video clip, a conversation between Jesus and Peter.
Grace is God's unmerited favor for us, His crazy love. And the truth is, many times we struggle understanding it. If you find yourself struggling to understand God's grace, don't beat yourself up. Even the disciples struggled with understanding grace.
Jesus, is that you? You're alive! I can't believe you're alive! Okay, I was in the boat, and I wasn't catching any fish, okay? But I heard this voice, and the voice said, cast your net to the other side. And so I'm thinking, I'm a fisherman, I know what I'm doing, but I'm not catching any fish, you know? And so I throw that net over there, and then a gaggle of fish pop into that net, and I'm going, this is a total miracle. Who could have done that? I need to know who told me to throw the net to the other side. And boom, I look up, and I mean, there is you. You're looking at me on the seashore, going, it is I, the Lord, and you're alive! I can't believe you're alive! This is awesome! Andrew, get out of the boat! Come on!
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you love me?
Yes, I love you. I love you. You're alive. This is so great.
Good. Then feed my sheep.
Andrew, get out of the boat. Come on, man. It's him.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you love me?
I love you. Yes. And I'm so sorry about that rooster clucking. I had no idea what that meant, but I do know I'm better for it, all right? Okay.
Then feed my sheep.
Andrew, I'm smiling, but I'm serious. Come on, get out of the boat. It's him.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you love me?
Jesus, mere words cannot describe the passion that I have for you. I love you. You know everything. I love you.
Good. Good. Then feed my sheep.
I didn't even know you had livestock. That is so like you, though. There's something new about you all the time. That's what I love about you.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you remember the morning the ladies went to the tomb?
Yeah. We're all in the upper room trying to figure out what to do next, you know, because we thought you were dead. You know, you were dead, you know, and we're trying to figure all that out, you know. And Mary comes running up, and Mary's like saying, beehive, beehive, beehive. And I'm thinking, I'm allergic to bees. Like, keep them out. You know what I'm saying? But as she kept getting closer, I heard her correctly. She was saying, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. And we're going, who's alive, who's alive? And she said, she was at the tomb, and the tomb was empty. And she said that there was an angel there. And the angel said, go tell the disciples and Peter that everything is okay, he is risen. And so me and John, we hightailed it down there. And if John says he beat me, he's totally lying, all right? I beat him, FYI, all right, you know? And we get down there, and I'm looking in that tomb, and it is empty. There's nothing in there, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, what does this mean? What does this mean? And John is right there. John is so good with words. He should write a book. He is so good with words. And John said, don't you get it, Peter? This is everything Jesus said he was going to do, and you did it, and it's done. Let's go. This is so great.
Wait, yeah. The angel said what?
Go tell the disciples and Peter that everything is okay. He is risen. You've risen. Let's go. This
he
is.
He said what?
Go tell the disciples and Peter. Go tell the disciples and Peter. You said my name. Why did you say my name?
Peter, that's grace.
No, I don't deserve that, because that night people kept coming up to me asking me if I belonged to you, if I was with you, and I kept denying you left and right, all right? No, it'll take me my whole life to make up for what I did. It was unforgivable for
no,
what I did.
No, what I did on the cross was meant to take what is unforgivable and make it forgivable. That's my grace. It's not about you. It's always about me. That's grace, Peter.
If we were to try to summarize the whole message of John the Baptist and this Advent season, it is contained in those words in the story of Jesus to Peter. It's not about you. It's always about Jesus. John makes this very clear to us that he is not the one, that his job is to point to Jesus. And it becomes for us this struggle that we seem to have of doing all this stuff as if we're the ones who are going to meet Jesus, when all of the preparation and making the path straight have to do with us opening up because Jesus is coming to us. This is grace, undeserved, unmerited, but given freely. John talks about that the mountains are going to be made level and the valleys are going to be filled up. And we have those all the time in our lives, and we don't understand them. And as it happens with Zechariah in the canticle we sing, the dawn from on high breaks upon us. You know, the dawn doesn't come from on high. The dawn comes from the horizon. But the dawn from on high hits us on the head, like Jesus, metaphorically in that story, hits Peter on the head. And it's the same for us in this season, that we're given this opportunity to make sense. The mountaintop experiences that God gives to us, like Paul was having. He's in jail when he writes this letter to the Philippians, but that wilderness that he is in has given him the opportunity to understand what God has given for him and these people with whom he's partnered in his ministry. And listen to what he says. You talk about somebody who has perspective now. My prayer is that your love abound more and more. He understands what the mountaintop was for. We have these valleys in our lives as well, and these difficult things that we don't always understand when they're happening. But with the perspective that it's all about Jesus, eventually it all makes sense. The practical example I always have of this for myself is every time I leave this campus, I usually go out the Swinton way. And there's a pothole there, and that pothole has been there since before I was the rector here. And you know, Pablo or somebody from the school will go and they'll get some asphalt and they'll fill up that pothole. But you know what? With the water settling there and the traffic and the rain and everything else, a couple months later, somebody calls the church, you gotta fix that pothole. And it's like this in our lives, that we have these mountaintops and these valleys continually, and yet when we keep it in perspective, it gets covered up and the path is made straight. We spent yesterday with a group on our quiet day looking at all these areas of our lives where we carry the baggage, where we have the wrong attitudes, where we lose our perspective into what this is all about. John points us back that it only makes sense when we know it's not about me. It's about making way for Jesus to come and receive him with grace. I have shared in the past the story with some of you that really brings this home for me. It's the story of a young lady that was in the news in St. Louis. A priest friend of mine related it to me, that she had parked her car at nighttime, and when she was leaving at nighttime from the parking lot, she looked in her rearview mirror and it seemed like somebody else got into a truck and started following her, and she got a little concerned. And so she made a right turn and noticed he made a right turn. She made a left turn. She noticed that he made a left turn. She was getting more and more concerned, so she sped up. She started careening through the streets, terrified. Then the guy starts honking his horn, flashing his lights at her. He tried to pass her, but she was able to move over and cut him off. Petrified, she wanted to get to someplace safe where this man couldn't bother her. So she saw a gas station up ahead, and there were some people outside. And she prayed, "God, please help me." And so she swerved over into the gas station, jumped out of her car, noticing that he swerved into the gas station as well. She runs into the gas station to be where the people are, but he does not. He jumps out of his car, and in the back of his truck, he grabs a 2x4 and runs to her car just in time to grab the guy that was hiding and crouched behind her seat the whole time. And the news story said that she was running from the one person who could save her. In fear, we run from the one person who can save us. We become so much like that woman. So many of us, so many ways, managing in our fear to keep running from the one person who is trying to warn us, trying to save us, trying to be the dawn from on high that breaks upon us and helps us to see and make sense of our lives. So the important question is not that 2,000 years ago, that when Pontius Pilate was in charge and all those other people had positions of political authority, that the word of God came to John. The important question is this. In the year 2012, when Barack Obama was in his fourth year of the presidency, when Rick Scott was the 45th governor of the state of Florida, when Bishop Leo Friday was the third bishop of the Diocese of Southeast Florida, did the Word of God come to you? May the dawn from on high break upon you. Amen.